This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on September 24th, 2009. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Agenda document 0947, agency procedures. This is a motion or a notice that was published in the Federal Register regarding clarification of our agency procedures. More recently, we adopted a procedure coming out of the hearings that we had in January, initiated by former chairman McGann, to see what we could do to improve our agency procedures. We adopted a procedure back in 2007, allowing for hearings, pre-PC hearings, pre-probable cause hearings, but the procedure that we adopted at that time did not address the procedural question as to whether or not during the hearing we could ask questions of our general counsel and our staff director. And then when we adopted procedures coming out of the January hearing with respect to further proceedings regarding matters coming out of audit, we implemented that in our language. So this is really to just bring this in sync with the current procedure that we most recently adopted. If there's any questions or further comments among the commissioners, we could probably have that discussion. I could read it all, but I don't think it's really necessary. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a troublemaker today. I'm not going to support this, and since that may look a little bit odd, I thought I should explain why I'm not going to support it. I was, as I think everybody knows, the sort of the prime mover behind implementing the probable cause hearings. I think they've been extraordinarily well received. I haven't heard any complaints, actually, from anybody, which is pretty unusual around here, about how they've been implemented. And, you know, part of my concern is that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. When we wrote the procedures for probable cause hearings, there was a conscious decision made, actually, not to include questioning of staff at the same time. It was designed as an opportunity for respondents to come in and have a dialogue with us. And, of course, commissioners have many, many opportunities to interact with the staff and to ask them all the questions that they want to and need to, and they take advantage of that and question the staff all the time, and should. But this procedure was really supposed to be something for the respondents. I'm actually not sure the respondents even would want this change, because it could detract from, since there's a limited time in these hearings, it could detract from the amount of time that they have to interact with the commissioners, which I think is really their prime focus when they come in here. The reason why there was a conscious decision made not to have this kind of language in the original procedure was that when we started this, there was actually some trepidation on the part of the staff that these hearings would turn into a setting where the staff would be put on trial, basically, for their recommendations. And I really strongly advocated with the staff at the time, and I think I persuaded them that it didn't need to be that way. It wasn't designed for that. It was designed to be a positive step for the commission, and only to provide an affirmative opportunity for respondents to come in and have that chance to talk to the commissioners face to face, and it really wasn't even about the staff. It was really about the respondents and their ability to interact with commissioners. And in order to effectuate that and to make sure that the focus stayed on the respondents and that it didn't become a forum for putting the staff on the defensive, we really designed it that way so that all of the back and forth would be between the commissioners and the respondents. And as I said, there are many other opportunities for the staff to be questioned. They are questioned. They're questioned vigorously. Some might say harshly at times, and I know this is not the chairman's intention. I know this is not the chairman's intention, but I am a little bit concerned that this could open the door to more antagonistic questioning in this kind of a setting, and I'm not sure it's going to be an unalloyed good to provide that opportunity. We did include this when we adopted the audit hearings procedures, and I wanted to support that. I thought it was a good idea having the audit hearings, and it was clear to me at the time that there were going to be 4 votes to include this language anyway, so I decided not to make a big deal out of it. And as one often does, one accepts a package of things even when one doesn't like every single line in it. But, you know, if you present it to me as a freestanding thing all by itself, just this one little change, I'm not really in favor of it. I don't think it will necessarily improve the process, and I have some concerns that it could, not necessarily, and I hope that it won't, but it could actually act to the detriment of the process. So I hope I'm wrong, but for those reasons, I'm not going to support the proposal.
Any further questions, comments? From my perspective, I kind of came up. I was here when we adopted this in 07, and I don't remember the debate back and forth, and it may have happened, but I don't remember that I was any big participant in it. And so as a result, when then Chairman McGann was conducted a hearing, I asked a question of the general counsel, and Commissioner Weintraub corrected me. Are we able to do this? Is it possible to do that? And I had just assumed that there was no question. It was just to help facilitate the communication with the counsel and the others who was appearing before us. So the point was raised. Commissioner McGann, I think we all were not sure at that point, so the question was not actually answered. When we went through the procedures for audit, we did include it with a view in mind that with the hope that we wouldn't misbehave, and I think would just use it for the purposes necessary to elicit responsible colloquy among all of us on how to resolve issues, and so it did pass. And this is just to fill in the blank in connection with this procedure. I think it'll be fine. I don't think it'll be abused. I think the chairman, if it gets out of line, certainly can step in, I think, and try and rein it back, hopefully. Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also support this. I recall the hearing that you're mentioning, and I remember you had a question that seemed very relevant and that sort of thing, and it was a question I had on my mind, and I don't recall the question, and I think case is now public, so we could probably find the transcript somewhere and point to it. But I remember Commissioner Weintraub did raise the issue that under the policy, maybe it didn't permit questions, and it's the first probable cause hearing I think I chaired, and I frankly didn't know the answer to the question because, well, it didn't really, I don't think the current policy rather says one way or another clearly.
Well, so I was here when we adopted the policy, and I didn't know the answer to the question either.
I support this because I think this is an improvement over an already good policy based upon practical application and our actual experiences under the policy. I don't see this at this time causing problems with the process. I think it's going to help expedite or cut to the chase, depending on how colloquial one wants to be, on getting to the heart of the matter. Probable cause stage under the statute is a unique creature. Unlike virtually every other enforcement procedure, the statute itself says that the Office of General Counsel recommends probable cause. The respondent files a brief with the commission secretary, and in theory, when this was passed, it was designed to be one of the really only adversarial proceeding that the commission actually does within its own four walls, where the council makes its case why there's probable cause, the respondent makes their case, and the commission decides. And if there's 4 votes to find probable cause, then it goes forward. So, at the probable cause stage, I think it does make sense to allow for questions while the respondent is here to, frankly, test the arguments that respondent makes. There have been times in other hearings where respondents have made arguments, and I kind of thought, I'm not really sure if that's inaccurate characterization of what the council's position really is, but he didn't feel comfortable asking council to rebut that sort of thing. And sure, there's plenty of time we can talk to the staff on our own time, but at the probable cause stage, the statute sets out more of a transparent process than that. And I think this is a very minor point that I think will help us get to the heart of an enforcement matter sooner rather than later. And I think ultimately that's a goal we all share, particularly at the probable cause stage, is to make the correct decision based upon more information, not less. So, again, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your leadership on this, and I will wholeheartedly support your initiative.
Further comment, discussion? If not, do we have a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the new modification of the agency procedure for probable cause hearings, and that is set forth in agenda document number 09-48.
Thank you. Any further comment, discussion? If not, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All in favor, four in favor. I voted in favor. Mr. Vice Chairman, Commissioner Hunter, Commissioner McGann, Commissioner Weintraub voting against. There are no further matters to come before us at this point. So, hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.